Just a spoonful of honey every day, and you're good. It just covers it. It's your force field. That's what it is. That's your
back to the force field today.
We look forward every time to you guys joining us, and we're already looking forward to the next time. Appreciate it so much. Katrina, is there anything else people should know about the store or anything?
If people want to listen to this again, maybe they missed a little bit of this. Afi is going to do the Facebook Live, which we do once a month. It's the second Wednesday of each month, so it follows radio. It's at 12:05, and she'll be talking a little bit more on, like, lifestyle for a dog and environment as well. But that's at 12:05, and it lasts for about 30 minutes. So if somebody only caught part of this, they can tune in to Facebook Live at 12:05.
Ask any questions, too.
Questions.
Do you need a host for it? Do you need a host?
Well, yeah. You want to come over at 12:05? We love a host.
Always looking for work. Always looking. I can't thank you both enough. Afi, thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you very much, Dane.
And Katrina, you know we adore talking to you. You guys take care. Tell Stephen Hine and the whole gang over there hello for us, okay?
Sounds good. Happy spring.
Bye-bye. We'll talk soon. Take care, you guys. And again, find out more information by going to familynaturalfood.com. Be sure to follow them on social media, their great Facebook page, or you can go visit them at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids and say hi to our great friends over at Family Natural Foods. We'll talk to them again soon. We have our friends from Encourage coming up in part two today right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320. This is WFHR.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
For today, cloudy skies, a chance for snow showers early on, then changing over to rain into the afternoon as highs reach the lower 40s. For tonight, any lingering showers ending early on, dropping back to a low of 33. Drying out for your Thursday, partial sunshine expected there, lower 50s for highs, and then lots of sunshine for your Friday in the mid to upper 50s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Thanks a lot, Michael. 32 in Stevens Point, 33 in Marshfield, 35 in Wausau, and here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this April 14th, 2021. Your host, James J. Mailoff here. We are joined by our friends from Encourage. Right now, we have Christopher Gesch, chairman over at Encourage, joining us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And Betsy Wood, managing director over at Encourage. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning to you.
How are both of you holding up, Chris? How's everybody doing on your end?
Quite well. I see the snow has disappeared outside my office window, so we're off to a good start.
Right on. Betsy, how about you? How's everybody holding up on your end?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. You know, one of the things that we appreciate so much about the time when we know Encourage is coming in is you guys bring in some great guests and we get to focus on some of the, you know, great nonprofits or different organizations that are in our community. And we appreciate so much that you guys do that and kind of put a spotlight on those things. We want to kind of reverse that and put the spotlight on you guys today a little bit and spend some time getting into a little bit of your stories. And one of my favorite things to do is origin stories. So I'd like to start there if you don't mind. And Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot today because we have history. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind giving like a little bit of your origins and how you kind of got into things over at Encourage.
Yeah. Well, we're first of all happy to be here. Thank you again for having us. And you know, we like you said, sometimes we don't do a great job about telling our own story, and we thought it was maybe time that we give a little update on what we're up to over at encourage proper, and thought we would start with. We think that most people in the community are aware of us and know that we're there, know our history. Founded in 1994, and that was through a generous donation from Virginia Brazo, and she saw the need for a community foundation, and it was something that didn't exist in this community before that, and her directive really at that time was to meet the changing needs of the community, which, as we know, needs are consistently changing, and being able to adapt and pivot and meet those changing needs was, as she saw it, important, and as we know, important to the success of the community. And, of course, over the years, Encourage has grown from a very traditional grant maker, which we still certainly are doing, into a values-led and resident-centered organization. Now, what we're going to talk a little bit about today is kind of what that means and what that means for the work that we've done over the years and the work that we're currently doing and the work that we'll be doing going forward. But as a grant maker in this community, you know, we'll dive a little bit more into these numbers in a bit here. But looking back to 1994 at inception, Encourage has awarded over $34.7 million in grants and scholarships. And I just want to say that number one more time, $34.7 million that Encourage has awarded, which we're very proud of the fact that we've been able to help provide that for this community, and so very grateful to the donors who make that happen.
Yeah, I feel like I should hit the winner bell after you gave that number.
Well, and it does come through the generosity of those who believe in this community and who invest in the today and the tomorrow of this community as well. So we're very proud of that work and grateful for the donors who are on the journey with us.
That's a really good, it's very well said, and it's something that stood out to me right away with Encourage, is that it's not just thinking about today but tomorrow and looking ahead. And it speaks to what you guys have been doing over there for so long. But when it comes to the inception of Encourage and the beginning days of it and everything, how it's one thing to say, okay, we want to create this organization to help out and assist our community and take care, help people. But every community, and we'll just look at ours own, you know, it has multiple problems. It doesn't just have one thing. Okay, we're just going to take care of this, and we just can put all of our focus on this. How do you, like coming out the box, how do you start to decide where to start, where to go? It feels like at Encourage, you guys kind of let the community tell you where to start.
Well, that's one thing that we've, you know, always tried to do, is to keep resident voice central to the conversation. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about Tribune and things like that in a bit here. But, you know, clearly a key component of that whole process was making sure that the community's voice has been heard. We also know that no one can do everything, right? And Encourage cannot and should not be everything. You know, it takes many hands and it takes many organizations, and we're so fortunate to have such a breadth of not only organizations but individuals in this community who care and want to see this community thrive and want to see us thrive in new and innovative ways. So working in tandem with other organizations locally here, you know, we just we want to make sure that resident voice is not lost. And you're absolutely right. There's going to be an unending list of changes and challenges that need to be addressed. But we know that together we can go much further than we can individually.
And that's why the community interaction, the community feedback is so important for you guys over there.
Correct. Yes. We, far be it from us. Well, I think Christy Eggie, one of our other Encourage board members, once said, "Nothing for us without us," which I think really sums it up nicely as a community. Right? We should all we should speak up. We should have a say, and we should exercise our voice.
I can hear her saying that too. That's perfectly said. Well worded. I think that kind of piggybacking off of the communication that we're talking about here too, that's one of the things that I know in a couple of years I've been doing Morning Magazine, I've thought of has come up with our listeners, and that we have an organization like Encourage. We have other nonprofit organizations in the area. And when it comes to, okay, well, we want to tackle this, but they're tackling it already. So do you find yourselves working and communicating behind the scenes a lot with a lot of the different organizations in this area to make sure that, okay, we're not both working at the same thing at the same time? You guys take on this, we're going to take on that. Is some of that kind of what goes on behind the scenes?
This is Betsy. I think that is a critical component of what we need to do, not only as Encourage, but as this community. Linking arms, working together, and really focusing on each other's strengths. And part of that is I really appreciate Kim Shields as our communications person here, and she does a lot of connecting with then other nonprofits in our area and having conversations and really keeping the pulse on who's doing what, so that as we do get inquiries here into Encourage, we are able to reach out to other organizations and really find the best path forward to make this a better community. And part of that work is we actually administer approximately 300 individual charitable funds. So in picking back off of what you had said previously, you know, it's not just the nonprofits and organizations. It's each community member has an opportunity to make a difference and push progress forward for our community and see the needs. There's many times we don't see the needs or are in the thick of things to really understand what the needs are, but our community members do see those needs, and many of them rise to the surface, and that's where a lot of these individual funds come from. They see a need, they want to help support that, and either by contributing to create a fund around that need or opening it up to the community, and anybody can contribute to those funds to help a specific area as well. So, yes, we work definitely very closely with the other nonprofits in our area, but we also rely on each individual community member, and their voice is so critically important as well.
You're so good at what you do, Betsy. It's very well worded, and I couldn't agree more. And I think it's one of those things, too, that it's great to highlight and hold up Encourage and the great work that they've done, and I want to get into some more of the historical work that is Encourage has accomplished. It is important to take some personal responsibility and to realize that you can be a change, you can make a difference yourself too. That it takes all of us doing these kind of things, and not just nonprofits, as you said, and everything, but individual households, individuals themselves, kind of taking action and adding to things, adding to the betterment of your community.
Okay. We're all here.
It's as if we're all connected, you know? It's just,
imagine that.
Yeah. Before we get too far ahead into the future and looking at that kind of thing, I want to take a step back and look at the work that Encourage has done in its existence and everything, because I think that's important. And certainly, it never hurts to kind of just take a moment and appreciate certain things. And you want to get into that a little bit?
Definitely. I'll take a first step, Christopher, and feel free to jump in as well. But I think one thing to remember is we are really place-based. We're focused on this community. Our area is really the Southwood County area. So as we do the work and as we link arms with the community members, we're really focused on how we can make this a better area and really look at how can we create a community where our children want to come back to and continue the legacy as we go forward. So much of the work that we've done in the past has really it started with grants and scholarships and providing back to the community. And in looking at just an example of some of the other nonprofits we provide support to, like the Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, Cultural Center, the Neighborhood Table Focus. I mean, that's just to name a few of the approximate 60 nonprofits we provided grants to just last year. We administer more than 100 scholarship funds, and I know Kim is really focused on administering that program here at Encourage, and I know she's talked about it in the past and will definitely be sharing more in the future, but I appreciate all of the work that she's doing with the scholarships in our area. We are in the thick of that again. But in looking at since 1994, our community, and because of the generosity of all of those that have set up scholarship funds here at Encourage, we've awarded over $34.7 million in grants and scholarships. And with that amount, you really look at 3,700 scholarships have been awarded, and that's over $2.6 million in the investment of the students going on to school. And hopefully those students will desire to come back. But, you know, we talk about statistics and we talk about how great those are, but we need to remember behind every single one of those numbers is a person, is a organization, and it's part of our community. So you think about the investment that each community member is making in each other, and it's a real huge impact and a huge thank you to every single person that is part of this community and making a difference. Some of the other programmatic work that we've done board governance training. We've had obviously done community surveys to really get an idea of what our community is wanting and wants us and our work to be informed to do going forward. We've also promoted Speak Your Peace. That is actually a program that was started back in 2008 and is still going today. Workforce Central, that was started back in 2007, actually. And a lot of these things we will begin the process in and then hand over to another organization to take forward. And that's one of those that was transitioned over to Midstate. And actually, I just saw something come through on email today that they are still taking that forward, and there's an upcoming event around that. So it's
I saw that too. It's
so encouraging to see things that we've maybe started here and then handed off are still continuing in our community today.
Yeah. I saw the same thing. I thought that was kind of cool too. And I'm so glad, Betsy, that you brought up the scholarship work, because honestly, that was one of the first things I thought of I was going into the interview today and thinking about talking about the history of Encourage and its origins. It's one of the first things I think of the work that you guys do over there. You do a lot of important work, but we all have heard and have said the same old adage of there's nothing, no better investment than our youth. But we also all know reality. And we see all the time, we just got through an election where we saw certain communities, you know, not putting money into education. Our own government does this all the time. So it falls again on us as individuals and community members to make sure that our kids are getting to school, they're getting an education. You guys have done such an amazing job at doing what you can in that, because again, there's no better investment you can make in life than putting it into children, than putting it into the youth, and the impact that makes, the domino effect of that we haven't even seen yet. It's still coming. It is such a great, wonderful thing to be a part of, and I imagine, I know that I light up anytime I see that Kim's going to be on the schedule, because I know we're talking scholarships, and that just, it might as well be Hanukkah or Christmas for me, because I love talking about that stuff, and I love the idea of these people we may never meet, may never see or anything like that, but you know that they're going to be able to take that and run with it and be able to get an education from it, and who knows where they're going to be able to go from there.
There is an element of long-term work in a lot of what Encourage does, and you know, sometimes we remind ourselves that it can oftentimes be work for a day that we may never see right ourselves, and I think scholarships would certainly fit squarely within that, thinking ahead to the future, a day in this community that we just might not be here for, but that's the importance of taking the long lens.
Yeah, it's we live in a society where it just seems like every day it's getting close more and more to I want immediate gratification. I want this right away. I want my meal quickly and all these things. And so much of the work that needs to be done is just not like that. It takes, you know, some patience. It takes the kind of do this and see how this goes. And this is one of the bigger ones right here.
Yep. You're spot on.
We are going to take a quick commercial break, come back with more with Christopher and Betsy from over at Encourage right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320. This is WFHR.
The Internet is a wonderful resource for kids. But in times like these, the Internet can also increase your child's risk of being a victim of crime. Instruct your child to never give out personal information, like their name, address, or school name, without your approval. Teach them about frauds and scams that often appear as friendly emails or offers that are too good to be true. Place your computer where you can see what your child is doing. Use software that prevents access to inappropriate sites and chat rooms. Teach your child what to do if they come across such sites or receive solicitations from strangers. Learn how they're using the Internet and how much time they're spending on it. Let's keep our kids as safe in the cyber world as we try to do in the real one. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how we can protect our children. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, cloudy skies, a chance for snow showers early on, then changing over to rain into the afternoon as highs reach the lower 40s. For tonight, any lingering showers ending early on, dropping back to a low of 33. Drying out for your Thursday, partial sunshine expected there, lower 50s for highs, and then lots of sunshine for your Friday in the mid to upper 50s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Thanks a lot, Michael. It's 33 in Stevens Point, Marshfield, 35 in Wausau, and here in Wisconsin Rapids, where we have Christopher Gesch and Betsy Wood joining us from Encourage. Thank you both for being with us again.
Thank you.
There is an old Greek proverb that I thought was really fitting with some of the things we've been talking about today, that society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. And just kind of speaking about what Christopher mentioned there about doing some of the work that you guys do over there, is stuff that maybe you don't see right away or you don't see for years ahead and everything, but how important that is. And it popped in my head in the break there and had to start with that. It feels very fitting to some of what we're talking about today.
I so appreciate that, because honestly, the phrase of, we are doing work here today that we will probably never see in our lifetime, was the catchphrase that caused me to be part of Encourage and the work that we do. So thank you for sharing that quote.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear, Betsy. It's inspiring. It makes me want to, all right, I'm going to stop my job right now. I'm going to go out and try to do something good. I wanted to talk about the accumulation of change in 2019, 2020, and kind of getting into that a little bit.
Yeah, we had towards the end of 2019, Kelly Ryan, who was our longtime CEO and very, very much the face of Encourage in a lot of ways, did transition on to the next step in her career, and she has moved on to be with the Heron Foundation based out of New York City. You know, we knew that was going to be a significant change for the organization because Kelly had been with us for so many years. And we were already beginning to lay the groundwork for what that next chapter of Encourage was going to look like, and where we fit in the community. Where should we be putting our efforts to have the most impact? And COVID struck. So 2020 definitely became a game of navigating the path forward through COVID, which every human, every organization on this planet has had to deal with, and it certainly has had its impact in many ways. Of course, our staff transitioned to working from home, and we started looking at the resources available to us and saying, what can we do, and how do we position ourselves well for the future? Because you know, we've said over the years, the world has changed, and so must we. And boy, did the world ever change a lot in the last year. So, you know, looking inward at ourselves, we did things like some renovations to our own Encourage office building on East Grand Avenue, and did some changes inside the building there. We have additional tenants in the space with us, so it's great to see the building buzzing full of energy and people, and of course continuing the work of grants and, you know, scholarship work, things like that. There was a great deal of programmatic work that we've done over the years, things like Workforce Central and the Blueprints program, some of the things Betsy mentioned earlier, that were funded from outside sources. So, I mean, that's oftentimes a lot of the questions that we get from people, because it was very visible work in the community, but it was funded from outside grant dollars. And, you know, the Knight Foundation was a really good example. They decided to only support Knight Ridder newspaper communities, but we don't have a presence of a Knight Ridder newspaper here in our community, so we were not able to receive that funding, you know, once they made that change. But those are the kinds of things that we're still pursuing, but making sure that we are that we have an eye on what's the highest need in the community and how can Encourage, from its unique perspective, how can we help the most? And, you know, it's in order to do the work, I mean, it does require support, right?
Yeah.
And we know that investing in Encourage is different. And because Encourage is different and different by design, your investment is able to go further and do more to help benefit this community.
When it comes to deciding where to take those things and everything, what kind of certainly, you know, surveys and maybe, you know, emails and questions, you know, things from feedback from the community. Are there other outlets that you guys use to get that data, to get that information? As far as where to go with, you know, what we want to do, well, what impact we want to make, or where do we want to go with our time and our energy and
resources? Yeah, and I mean, that comes right back to the sort of resident engagement community voice component as well, because, you know, we're not going to sit around the table by ourselves and decide what we think is best for the community. It needs to be guided by the actual real-time needs of all of us who live in this community, and we know we have a responsibility to help those who have been most marginalized and not been able to benefit from the systems of power and privilege that have been in place for forever.
I think we've been doing a good job of this. I'd like to kind of wrap up and let people know why is investing in Encourage so important?
Well, Christopher, if you don't mind, I'll jump in. Just to clarify, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So contributions that come here, we are not a bank, but we do the contributions that do come to Encourage are tax deductible according to the IRS rules. And contributions can be made to specific funds for a specific purpose, can be made to Encourage for unrestricted funding to be able to really intervene as needs arise. And that was critical this last year with all of the emergency funding that was needed for individuals, for nonprofits, for organizations. There was just a lot of things that came up. And you know what? Future things come up. They just do. And emergencies happen, and that's where our bridge grant comes in. And we also have the ability with the contributions that come in to pool those resources and actually have a double impact, so to speak. So your contributions can be directed to a certain purpose. That's one way you can have an impact. The other way is when you do contribute to Encourage, those resources are pooled together and actually what's called impact investing. And Encourage is actually a founding member of the Wisconsin Impact Investing Collaborative. It's actually committed to taking and leveraging assets to build a more environmentally sustainable community, and that's across Wisconsin. So Encourage's CFO, Dawn Newman, has been instrumental in this process. She's a member of the collaborative, and she's really been instrumental in our own path of aligning our resources to support our community, both directly and indirectly. So, for example, we can take some of our resources and invest in CAP services or FCI or WIBIC, who in turn then invests in local opportunities for businesses and economic development in our area. So those funds have a direct impact, but they also have an indirect impact, which helps all of us to pay it forward, whether you give a dollar or you give a hundred or whatever. You're having a multiple impact with those contributions.
There's so many great terms in there. You're so good, Betsy. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate you breaking that down for us. If people want to find out more information and want to reach out to you guys, how can they do that?
Through our website at www.encouragecf.org.